of the month. It is now September 1st, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Yesterday on this program, I told you about Dr. Courtney Bennett at the Mayo Clinic. She's the cardiologist that said if you're not vaccinated and you get sick, then, quote, do me a favor, don't burden our hospitals because you are ignorant. Ask YouTube for help. Well, now we might have some indication of who exactly it is that's shaping Dr. Bennett's words. It turns out the American Medical Association has been putting out lengthy guidelines dictating to doctors exactly what they're supposed to say in the public, like trained propagandists. This guide was made last winter, and it's really a remarkable read. There's literally a section titled COVID-19 Language Swaps, where the AMA instructs doctors on what words to say and which ones not to say. Don't call it a lockdown. It's a stay-at-home order. Don't say government. Say public health agencies. When they talk about vaccines, they aren't supposed to give facts about the testing process, the money spent on it, the number of test participants, but instead, they're supposed to just call it a transparent, rigorous process, while actually reducing the amount of rigor shown to the public. And this one is particularly incredible. The AMA actually asks doctors not to mention the coronavirus or COVID-19. Instead, they say to just talk about the pandemic. This reads so much like those guides you see coming out of universities. Like at Brandeis University, there's a guide telling you not to use the term homeless person. Instead, use person who's experiencing housing insecurity. Don't use drug addict. Use person with substance abuse disorder. Don't use prostitute. Use person engaged in sex work. There's a very old left-wing practice used by the French revolutionaries, used by the communists, and used by today's progressives to control reality by controlling what language you use. So what else is in this guide? Well, they have a template social media posts telling doctors exactly what to post on Facebook or Twitter. For instance, quote, even with the vaccine, we need to keep using the masks to stop the spread. Hashtag COVID-19, hashtag mask up. Or this one, quote, facts, logic, and compassion require us to do our part. Get vaccinated. Hashtag COVID-19. Or this, quote, I trust a vaccine endorsed by scientists, career public health professionals, my doctor, and the mainstream medical community. Hashtag trust science. This guide also includes tips on how to stall out an interview or dodge unwanted questions. I'm not kidding. To stall, they suggest asking to repeat the question or doing it yourself while saying, I'm glad you asked that. And then blah, blah, blah. You want to deflect? Say, well, that's a misperception, but the reality is, you want to steer the conversation elsewhere? No problem. Just say, I don't have the details on that, but what I know is, and then you say what you really want to say. So that's how the medical profession works these days, apparently. We send these people to school for 20 years, make them take one exam after another, have them swear a Hippocratic oath, and then give them a user's manual on what hashtags to use and how to box out an interviewer. If a doctor is just going to repeat what the AMA tells them, why have doctors at all? You can get plenty of starving propagandists at any liberal college, but instead, we want to turn our medical professionals into ideological zombies with stethoscopes. There's other spooky stuff in the document. The AMA openly calls for tech platforms to, quote, advance evidence-based information from credible sources and reduce the spread of misinformation. In other words, a medical body is now simply calling for censorship in the name of public health. They call for eliminating all non-medical exemptions from vaccines. They call for the medical profession to prioritize Black and Latinx individuals in developing coronavirus treatments. In other words, de facto racial discrimination. This is the organization that accredits our nation's medical schools. But just like every other institution in America, it's being corrupted to serve the broader perpetual needs of the ideological left. And that rot will still be there long after coronavirus is gone. Dr. Brian Artis is a consultant to multiple practitioners. He's been a standout, exposing the corruption of the medical system and the powers that be in the United States. He was the first doctor to blow the whistle on remdesivir, the non-FDA-approved drug that Tony Fauci has now made protocol to treat COVID patients in every hospital across the country. Dr. Artis joins us now. So this is really quite interesting. Every doctor across the country, at least those that are part of the American Medical Association, are carrying around little propaganda books. They're the talking pieces, the mouthpieces, the brown shirts of the physician community.
Yeah, the American Medical Association not only is the one funding and overseeing all of the actual things taught in medical schools, They're also overseeing the licensing for each of the state boards for American medical doctors. So when they're putting out these actual mandated guidelines for how you're going to communicate to the American public, the doctors know if we don't follow their actual guidelines, you're not saying these things in the media, they're going to be watching. And I found it incredible when you let me know about this cardiologist who posted that those who are unvaccinated just stay home and die. I wasn't surprised. That's when I said, don't you know what the AMA is doing? They're telling everybody what to say. And so I want to just say this. In that same article, the AMA's guideline for how to interact in social media and in interviews when asked about COVID-19, the most disgusting to me is it actually states on this AMA guideline, instead of saying hospital rates in your interviews or in your statements on social media, use the word death. Now, Stu, how many reports have we seen in the media from CBS, Fox News? It doesn't matter where. Where have you seen in the mass media the use of the words death, and how many times is that being overlaid on top of the real words hospital rates? The AMA is not saying hospitalized rates. Hospitalized rates means that's how many people are going into the hospitals. They actually say, instead of saying hospital rates, use the word deaths. Why would you do that? Why don't you just say this is how many people are going into hospitals? Instead, they're pushing a narrative and convincing every doctor, you do this, you follow our protocols, and I find it disgusting. It is awful here. You actually know this. There are actually mandated hospital protocols using remdesivir, which is dangerous. You mentioned remdesivir is non-FDA approved. I just want to correct this before anybody starts writing into the Stu Peter shows. I have been stating that since May 2020, remdesivir, when it was mandated, was never FDA approved before that. Since October 2020, it was actually FDA approved.
Speaking of timely FDA approvals, and you can tell me why, but speaking of timely FDA approvals, the FDA, shortly after this pseudo fake phony approval of this so-called vaccine, they also approved a drug to treat myocarditis, heart inflammation, in young children. Why might they have done that?
Yeah, interesting, right? Myocarditis is now listed as a black box warning on the inserts. The mass media didn't tell you this, but the FDA made Johnson & Johnson shot and the Moderna shot and Pfizer shot put this little black box warning that myocarditis, heart inflammation that can lead to death, is now a known side effect. We've been telling you that since October 2020 when the FDA released their document that myocarditis, heart attacks, five different blood clot disorders were going to come from these COVID-19 shots. So I just want your audience to know remdesivir is still the mandated protocol. It was not FDA approved before this pandemic. It is proven to cause acute kidney failure, multiple organ failure, and 31% of all people that receive it in ICUs. I just also want to follow up with this. They have been censoring in the media, and I guarantee you the AMA is giving out the guidelines of what doctors are to say, what research people are supposed to say in the media, that ivermectin is dangerous, that hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. They're telling you what to say about vaccines here. It actually says on this AMA document, instead of saying get the vaccine, it is the right thing to do, say this instead, says the AMA of all medical doctors in the media. Getting the vaccine will keep you safe. Really, the actual fact sheets all state for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson that these shots are not designed to keep you from getting COVID-19, nor are they to stop you from transmitting COVID-19. So how is this supposed to be safe? Now, fast forward to USA Today 2 days ago, we find out that there is actually a judge in a court who actually allows and changes the mandated protocol in a hospital for a wife's husband who's being treated for COVID-19. The doctors are telling the wife that this patient's going to die. So the wife reaches out to Ralph Lurigo, the attorney out of New York. This New York attorney files a appeal inside of a court. The court awards, the judge does, that they're going to change the mandated protocol with this statement that if he's going to go ahead and die, per the doctors, why don't we try something else the wife thinks should be used? That thing she's been promoting is something called ivermectin. She wants them to use ivermectin. And I have to just state here, if you're wondering why the mass media and the social media with all the medical doctors and the research scientists they're putting out there and telling them what to say, if you ever wondered why it is they're saying all of this stuff, the AMA is telling them what to say, but you have to just read this and you have to know this is where it's coming from. powers that be that hold these people's licenses are telling them what to say. In this USA Today article, the actual end of it, they're interviewing Dr. Leanne Chrisman Kalman, a physician and professor at the Ohio University Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine. It says she called the frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance snake oil salesman. You know where that quote comes from? Your AMA guidelines. She reviewed the association's research. The research is coming from flccc.net. Okay. 27 studies confirming through 18 countries that ivermectin is both safe and effective at stopping COVID-19 disease and stopping transmission in 48 hours or less. These are the research studies this doctor is being quoted from in USA Today. So what did the AMA and what did those above them telling her to say? This is what she said. I've reviewed the research. Many of them don't show positive results, and those that bear the design flaws like small control groups, unaccounted for variables, non-blinded studies, not accounting for mitigations like vaccines and masking practices and others. Based on evidence-based medicine and my read on this large number of small studies, I would find this very suspect and even the positive outcomes suspect, she said. There is zero data, zero quotes from those research studies. She never looked at them. Look at these AMA guidelines and what these powers that be are telling medical people in their interviews to say. It actually states on this AMA document in a 7-minute interview in the media. This is what you say. This is how you deflect. Numerous articles display interviews with medical professionals who are licensed as medical doctors. They never give you any real data out of these research studies. They just give you these blanket deflection methods that they're being told to use in their interviews.
In the early 1900s, did the Nazis carry around little books telling them exactly what it is to say? This is a big, huge play, is what this appears to be. This appears to be a script for a movie. And as far as the ivermectin is concerned, and I believe that we're talking with Dr. Zev Zelenko tomorrow regarding this early treatment protocol. He was a genius on this stuff. He saved thousands of lives in upstate New York with early treatment protocols. Many doctors have. There is now a Time magazine article, a Time article that came out slamming ivermectin. And now we're getting reports here at the Stu Peter Show that there are real big problems. People are not able to find ivermectin at their local pharmacists. This thing is being dried up. There's a chance that it's going to be pulled by the FDA. We're hearing the FDA may be pulling this drug altogether that has been approved for many, many, many years. And now they're going to be pulling this thing. I wonder why. Dr. Brian Artis, we thank you so much for your insight. This is incredibly astounding. It's crazy. I can't believe that we're living in these extraordinary times. A great time to be alive in this country, no doubt. Thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
Please remember all of your audience. Every time you hear the words death in an interview, the AMA is telling them this word to put over the word hospitalization rates. Disgusting.
Totally disgusting. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Here's a small mercy. The war in Afghanistan is over. The war was a mess. The withdrawal, a complete catastrophe. The Taliban took billions of dollars of our equipment. They're now one of the best armed militaries in the entire world. But forget about all that for now. The war is over. The last U.S. troops are out. Our country can finally start to recover. But to do that, we have to maintain the peace. Already Fox News is pushing the back to war narrative. Just the other day, they brought on George W. Bush's old chief of staff, Andy Card, to say, we're getting out of Afghanistan too quickly. Here's some other headlines, all from Fox's website on Tuesday afternoon. Biden sees Dem support dwindle over withdrawal. Taliban celebrate enjoyable moment of victor. Horrifying audio released. Reports of Taliban executions just hours after U.S. leaves. Here's another one. Aircraft atrocity. Taliban sit in the cockpit of American-made plane given to the Afghan Air Force. And now they're running headlines about an unknown number of Americans stranded behind enemy lines in that country. Unknown. Very choice words there. We don't know exactly who they are or where they are, but given the Taliban let us evacuate as many people as we wanted from the Kabul airport, it seems plausible that they would just fly these people out too, if we asked. But apparently, we're supposed to relaunch the entire disastrous war to get them out. Sebastian Gorka's making viral videos on Twitter about Americans being betrayed and abandoned in the country. They're saying things like, if Trump were still in there, we'd be destroying an Afghan village every day until we get him out. You have to understand what they're doing here. Americans are kind people. We care about one another. But here, America's warmonger class is trying to manipulate you again. They're trying to pull on your heartstrings so that you'll agree to restart a war that was a complete waste, a total calamity, thousands of deaths for 20 straight years. And if they find a way to get us back in, more Americans will die and they will never let us out again. They talk about Americans being betrayed and abandoned, but it's middle America that has been betrayed and abandoned by Washington every day for the last 20 years so they can run around the world playing. Don't fall for this reverse psychology. Don't let them extend a war where progressive think tankers collect all the money and conservative Americans do all of the dying. Don't let them win by making America continue to lose. Joe Kent knows a lot about the loss of life in war. He's the Gold Star husband of Shannon Kent, who was killed in an ISIS attack in Syria. He's a retired Green Beret himself. He's running for Congress to represent Washington State, and he joins us now. Joe, thank you for coming. I think we have a duty on this program to get away from soundbite keywords, catchphrases that incite promotion of bombs, bullets, and blood, and just ask people that really know what the hell is going on here. I can't imagine finding a better person than you, so I'll just ask. When you look at the situation from a broad perspective, from a bird's eye view, tactically and politically, what's your assessment of what we're seeing on television?
So what we're seeing on television and what we're seeing come from the administration and really from the establishment is 20 years of lies just coming completely and totally unraveled. Military-industrial complex told us that we built this Afghan army that was worthy of our blood and our treasure and this great Afghan government. And then with the blink of an eye, really, it all crumbled before us. And that's because Joe Biden went against the deal that was negotiated by President Trump from a position of strength to have our troops out by May. Biden wanted that quick political win because he's bleeding out political capital in other areas. So he wanted to extend it. He announced to the Taliban that they'd have 3 prime months of fighting season to plan this assault. This assault was the eventual conclusion for Afghanistan anyways. We all knew this. Trump knew this, but he fought the Taliban to a stalemate that allowed him to negotiate from a position of strength that gave us a brief period of peace that would have allowed for us to get our troops out, because the Taliban knew that Trump would use decisive military force. He had proven that, but he had also proven that he wanted to get us out of these wars. And the military industrial complex has proven, as they tried to keep us at war indefinitely, that they would double cross presidents every step of the way. Joe Biden knew this, but he wanted the quick political victory. And so right now we're just seeing this being presented to us as a binary choice. You can either go and stay at war forever, and that's the only way to be safe. And that's what I think a lot of the neocons are back to advocating for, or you can completely pull out and, devil take the hindmost. You have to leave people behind. That's what Joe Biden's essentially saying. But the truth is in the middle. We don't need to be at war forever. We certainly should never do nation building again, but we can adopt the model that President Trump used, where we use the full scope of our power that includes our economic power, at times limited strike, but never fully extending us and committing us to endless wars. But that's what the establishment wants. That's why all you're hearing right now from the establishment is why we need to go back in there, or from the Biden side of the aisle, why we need to recognize the Taliban. And they're just part of this growing community of nations, of to which America is not an exceptional one, that we're just part of. And that's really why you're seeing all that comes from the Biden administration is this massive effort to normalize the Taliban and to fly hundreds of thousands of unvetted Afghan refugees into the heartland of America.
Middle-aged, military-aged, well-trained, right, Afghans flying in to to America being distributed throughout the country. They're at military bases in our country. You mentioned peace through strength and strategic limited strikes combined with, you know, diplomatic resolve. That's how you described President Trump. What do you specific, right. Are there any specific examples of some of these key strikes that you're talking about that you think were effective, more effective than a full-scale war where we lose thousands of Americans and at the end of the day lose thousands of Americans only to leave them and say, you are now one of the best equipped militaries in the world and you're evil people that want to kill everybody?
Exactly. Yeah. So as far as limited military strikes go, the initial years of the Trump administration, the world that Trump inherited was a world on fire. ISIS, the Islamic Caliphate, controlled large swaths of Iraq, Syria, and Libya. President Trump knew that we had to go and we had to fight that. We couldn't let that fester any longer because it presented a clear and present threat to the American homeland. So he gave us the abilities and the authorities to go over and crush the caliphate with limited special operations and a good deal of airstrikes. Once we reached our military objective, President Trump did something that no president prior to him had done. He tried to get us out of those wars. And that's when we saw the military industrial complex, the national security establishment, turn against him. That they loved Trump prior to that because he was letting them go and ply their task. But when Trump said, All I promised the American people was to destroy the caliphate. Now that's done, I'm pulling the troops out. That's when we saw Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis resign, Brett McGurk from the State Department resign, unelected bureaucrats all the way down in chain of command stop the withdrawal of troops. I know this personally because my wife was killed a month after Trump attempted to get our troops out of Syria the first time. And that's when we saw the deep state really turn against Trump because they wanted to continue to have this occupation. That's where you saw the national security establishment sell this narrative that we had to build this Kurdish nation in northern Syria, something that had never been promised before. We went in there to save those people from ISIS and to destroy ISIS. We did that. We tried to pull out, but then the narrative came in, just like the narrative's coming in today, that we have some obligation to go back in and reinvade Afghanistan. So every time we attempt to end a war, you see the apparatus turn. Biden did end the war. He deserves a little bit of credit for that, but the way that he did it, he could have had this done properly had he adhered to the agreement that President Trump negotiated. President Trump also killed Qasem Soleimani, who was a number one Iranian terrorist for years under the Bush administration, under the Obama administration. We were told that this man could not be touched because if he was touched, it would start a world war with Iran. Soleimani ordered an assault on our embassy in Baghdad in early 2020. That led President Trump to take him off the battlefield. He killed him and Abdulmani Mohandas, his deputy in Iraq. From there, the Iranians knew that we were not messing around. That shocked the entire world. So then when Trump sat down with the Taliban to negotiate the deal that should have been hammered out, the Taliban knew that he would take decisive action against him. He actually sat down with Abdul Badari and said, I know exactly where you live. I know where your village is. If you double cross me, I will ensure that you are taken off the battlefield first. You will be killed first. And they knew that Trump meant business because he had just done that against someone, a terrorist of much higher stature, Qasem Soleimani. So this peace through strength model, and especially applying diplomatic and economic sanctions, as long as America remains economically stable, is a sustainable model for counterterrorism and really for foreign policy going forward. That's something that President Trump proved. And that's why the establishment is so against that. They never present those things as an option. It's always this all or nothing. We have to be at war or we have to pull out from everywhere and recognize every single bad actor in the world as just another country. And that we're just another country and we're not exceptional. And you're seeing a lot of that coming from the Biden national security establishment and Blinken and all these other folks. That's what also led us to into the JCPOA with Iran.
With no resignations at all whatsoever. These people aren't ashamed. They're out here actually bragging about it. Look, we did something historically. Yeah. Nobody's ever done anything like this. Well, you're right about that. And you're right about Trump as well. And he did those strategic targetings without killing people at weddings, without bombing school kids, like what we're seeing with these warmongering elites. Joe Kent, you're running for Congress to represent District 2 in Washington State. JoeKentForCongress.com. Again, that's JoeKentForCongress.com. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Earlier today, I was in Telegram. I spent a lot of time in Telegram, and I follow the vaccine police there. I watched as Christopher Key went to a fire department. He approached the fire chief. Ultimately, the mayor ended up coming there, and he had a great conversation about forcing or coercing these firefighters to wear masks and take this jab. Great conversation, super constructive. that led to the resolution that they are going to continue to have this conversation. Open dialogue is happening because of Christopher Key's vaccine police and their boots on the ground. I support those efforts, and I'm asking that you do too. If you have $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you have, if you are called to do so, please go to vaccine-police.com and help this guy out. Give him some donations. He's got boots on the ground where otherwise we don't have the time to do that. You're taking care of your family. We understand that, and we understand that you're sharing information. You're a part of the information superhighway to red pill people, and that's wonderful. We're red pilling the people with the boots on the ground information that is being performed, being conducted, being gathered, and being perpetuated by people like Christopher Key at Vaccine Police. So please go to vaccine-police.com and give him whatever you can. Vaccine-police.com. I support it, and I hope that you will too by visiting vaccine-police.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, at the top of the show, we talked about how physicians, actual doctors that treat patients in hospitals, are being explicitly told what to say, what to post on social media, even down to what hashtags they use, and how to avoid an interviewer asking real questions about health, science, and facts. Today's American Medical Association affiliated doctors are literally Chinese-style propagandists with little Nazi-ish manuals using their white lab coats and the presumption that they actually take their Hippocratic oath seriously to deceive and trick you into doing exactly what they say or risk being marked for death, treated very badly should you come under their care. Language is extremely important. We take our responsibility of words very seriously. Breaking right now, Patrick Howley has obtained and published a report at National File that comes from a Facebook and Google partner. Apparently, Facebook and Google are tracking people's web history to manipulate them into taking the vaccine. Howley joins us now. Patrick, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Stu. Yes, this company called Resonate is a Facebook and Google partner, of course, located in the Washington, D.C. area in Virginia, where the deep state resides, and includes, by the way, some former officials from AOL and the Washington Post. And they use artificial intelligence and they track people's web history and their web traffic. Okay. And they come up with these little reports that they sell to their clients. And this report on vaccine resistors is one of the most cynical things I've ever seen. It's called Moving the Needle: How to Reach the Vaccine Hesitant and Resistant. And it gives tips on how to manipulate the minds of people into getting the vaccine by appealing to their sense of safety, appealing to their reputation and public image, their desire for social clout, and even their religion. And the report specifically says, draw them to vaccination sites based on their shopping preferences. In addition, this company is compiling information on the children of vaccine resistors, the children of people who don't want to take the experimental injection.
They're targeting everybody who is the most vulnerable. Elderly people, by changing and manipulating words like hospitalization, changing it to death to scare the elderly people. Now they're going after our kids. And they're targeting people who are strapped to careers, people in healthcare, people in the military, for example.
Yes, that's right. And they use different strategies in order to appeal to different demographics. This is a big business on psychographics. The deep state exists. All these ridiculous people, they exist in order to sort of play act in everyday life. Like that guy who confronted Tucker Carlson was, you know, working for a CIA front group. So the deep state just goes around and they do little acting bits all day. And they also study psychographics in order to try to influence the minds of people, program the minds of people. And this is what think tanks and these corporations in Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area do, and they do it very effectively. And so it's important to realize that the most powerful institutions in our society are targeting you to get the vaccine, and that includes the U.S. military. I have been on the phone almost around the clock with service members of all kinds in different branches of the military, including top officers. And I spoke to a top naval officer, and they have all told me a very similar story about how they are rolling out this Biden regime vaccine push without acknowledging the fact that, as I reported on nationalfile.com, the military regulation gives service members a chance to get tested for pre-immunity, Okay. Perhaps they've had the flu and they can qualify for pre-immunity. Perhaps they have already had coronavirus, can get pre-immunity. That's in the military regulations. The Biden administration is doing everything they can to try to ignore that and not get that information to the troops. Meanwhile, when it comes to religious exemptions, the military chaplains are actively trying to block people from getting the religious exemptions. And I have it on high authority that the top officers, including O6 supervisors and COs, are not being told at all about how to process religious vaccine exemptions because the Biden people, the Sleepy Joe hostile regime, does not want anyone to get an exemption from this injection. And since we know, as you report on your show every day, about the health problems, about the depletion of people's immune system from getting this injection, the fact that we are talking about injecting our military right now is an existential threat that only benefits our enemies, including the communist Chinese.
It's been said on this program by experts, by people in the military, by veterans of the United States military, that this forced inoculation, this coercion, is a direct threat to our nation's national security. And I mean, in the wake of the most disastrous withdrawal, a catastrophe in Afghanistan, where top military officials and Biden are actually patting themselves on the back, saying nobody has ever accomplished this before in history. It just makes you wonder what exactly it is with our military that these people really wish to accomplish. The death of soldiers is not a tragedy to these people. It is only a tragedy to these people when soldiers stop dying, which is why they're using these manipulation tactics, like you talked about the CIA and their little manipulation schemes, to get people to actually support going full scale back into Afghanistan.
Yes, that's right. And the military, by the way, is being deployed within the United States in the state of Kansas in order to resettle the Afghan migrants. The Afghan migrants, of course, are going to strategic locations like Fort Bliss in Texas, Fort Lee in Virginia, Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. You have governors, these Chinese quislings like Brian Kemp, who are just begging to bring in more Afghan refugees. Okay. And of course, Brian Kemp is in the pocket of the Chinese Communist Party based on his associations. You can go to nationalfile.com and you can look at the information, including the military regulations on religious exemptions and on how they're supposed to test for pre-immunity. And the Biden administration is doing everything to try to shut this information down so that the troops don't know about it. Go to nationalfile.com. Send it to your service members who are actively serving. Send it to everybody you can who's in the military because they need to know this information before it's too late.
Yeah, they do. We stand by our military and thank you for everything that you're doing to help stand up for these people and protect them. Patrick Hawley, senior reporter at National File. Go to nationalfile.com for all of that documentation and send it off. I think that's a wonderful idea. Patrick Hawley, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And follow me on Telegram, t.me/Patrick Reports, for all of these updates on the military.
Wonderful. See you there. Great reporting, as always, from Patrick Hawley over at National File. Before we get to this, I want to tell you something about Step On Socks that I've never before told you, not because I'm trying to hide it. Obviously, it's a great story. I just take my own knowledge for granted sometimes and just forget that I haven't already told you stuff. One of the founders over at Step On Socks, the way that we met is she was a physician, a family physician, a doctor practicing medicine, left. She completely trashed that whole career, everything that she has ever gone through, put it all behind her because of the tyranny that she's trying to escape. The stuff that we're seeing right now, she couldn't live with it anymore, and she completely walked away from it, which inspired her. And as a result, now she is red pilling everybody through their feet, through socks. I thought that was just a really interesting thing that I didn't know if I had told you before, and it occurred to me that I don't think that I have. These are patriots over at Step On Socks. When I say that you're doing business with patriots, I really mean it. So get over to steponsocks.com right now. The classic version, of course, the snakes that you would love to step on. Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden. You can walk around on these snakes all day long. My favorite is the Trust in God sock. The Trader Joe is available. I hand delivered a Trader Joe pair to the family member of somebody who was lost in Afghanistan earlier today. That was quite the ordeal. Big hugs, lots of crying going on over there. And then, of course, there's a new one featuring Pence, Cuomo, Whitmer. Don't forget to go to steponsocks.com and know that you're doing business with Patriots when you get a 3-pack for just $17.76. Knew that you would love that number. They've also diversified. They have silver and Second Amendment flags available as well. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get huge discounts when you mention the name Stu Peters at steponsocks.com. Well, I'm happy to announce a brand new segment on the Stu Peters Show. It starts today, and it's called Ask Dr. Jane. It's brought to you by MyPillow. Mike Lindell, a great patriot over there. When you go to shop at MyPillow.com, make sure to use promo code Stu for all kinds of discounts. MyPillow. Dr. Jane Ruby is a frequent contributor who's provided breaking findings and continuous updates on the dangerous and deadly world-ending plague, along with the historically unprecedented danger associated with the rollout of these injections being falsely referred to as vaccines. Now, we recently learned that the number of reported deaths are approaching double the amount of total deaths from all previous vaccines combined. Many of you reach out to Dr. Ruby or me in Telegram and various other platforms with questions, and we thought it would be a great idea to begin addressing the notables. So Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now. Dr. Jane, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate you taking the time to answer some of these questions.
I'm really excited about it, Stu, because these questions come directly from our fellow citizens. The people that are with us have been with us through this whole thing on social media, and there are a lot of common themes among these questions, so we can consolidate them and really get the answer to everyone.
Yeah, and the first question I would note is probably a question that could be asked by tens or hundreds of millions of people around the world, and it comes from Alfredo in your Telegram, who writes, quote, "Employer going to require the jab. What is my course of action to retain my job and get no jab?"
Absolutely. This is actually something I call everybody's question. So many people are struggling with this threat to their livelihood and being able to take care of their families. Here's my take on it. The only way to retain your job really is to be willing to temporarily lose your job. What do I mean by that? You know, I've said on the show many times, this is not an even exchange. It's not a vaccine. And COVID vax injuries may not be covered, first of all, by your employer's insurance or by your private insurance. You're actually having to decide between your life and your job, or maybe permanent disability. So that's why I say that. And I think it's really important. You know, we saw from the United Airlines internal documents where the union was in collusion with the management, they were trying to get everybody incentivized to do it on their own voluntarily, so that what they were left with was a small amount of dissenters and they could shame them. You have the power, but the power is in numbers. It's collective. And so their fear is that a larger group is going to say no. Now, legal experts have told us across these shows that it's better to let them fire you, to take it to the wall, continue to respectfully decline, and try everything you can with exemptions, although most people are not having good luck with that. What this does, the lawyers tell me, is it puts the employer in a position where the potential unemployment insurance burden falls back on them, and it leaves you with some legal recourse later on when we can try to get back, maybe even jobs being reinstated for folks. So, and I also think one other thought, people need to start thinking away, Stu, from this, or out of the box, away from this corporate dependence mentality. I know that's easier said than done, but look at corporate, you know, has taken over the media. We've seen what that's done. They've taken over hospital systems. You know, it's harder to find individual practitioners. And that creates a lot of directives from above by these corporations practicing medicine, essentially without a license. So something to think about.
You know,
think about different skills, different jobs, and employers that don't require that.
Yeah, and I would encourage employers that don't require this overreaching, authoritarian, communist, Nazi-ish mandate to just advertise that by whatever means you possibly can. You're not going to get censored. Well, you might get shadow banned, but you know, just anywhere that you can publish, hey, if you're a cop and you want a job, that we don't require it over here at this sheriff's office. So if you're a sheriff, or you know, you're an American Airlines, it's not currently mandating the jab. So if you're a pilot at United or one of these other, you know, communist Nazi type carriers like United, Frontier, for example, go over to American. They want good pilots. So that can be done in the private sector as well. Lisi McClure, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in your Telegram once again says, quote, "I have a question on monoclonal antibody therapy. What is it and why are they pushing it?" Great question, because that's a question that I have as well.
Oh, many, many people are asking this question. Let me give you a little background. One of the ways, though, that the body's immune system attacks foreign invaders is by making its own antibodies. Everybody pretty much has an idea of that. And an antibody is a protein that sticks itself to a specific protein that's an invader. We call it an antigen, right? Once attached, they can force other parts of the immune system to respond to it. It's important to understand that. But now researchers can actually, in the lab, design antibodies that specifically target certain antigens. And monoclonal antibodies have been used very frequently. Many of them are approved, actually, in cancer therapy. But let's start from the beginning. These are virus-neutralizing antibodies. And I want to talk about this in a continuum. When you get the natural disease, whether it's COVID, flu, or anything else that's infective, your body over time produces more robust antibodies, a more robust immunity, and for the future, longer lasting. That's the best immunity you could develop. When you get a real vaccine, remember, real vaccines use an attenuated or inactive portion or whole piece of a whole virus, rather, where it's not going to infect you or cause problems, but your body recognizes it as something foreign to imprint, create a surveillance system for. And those are less robust. They may last from months to several years. It depends on the situation and the antibodies involved that your body makes. That's called passive immunity. What I described from naturally being infected is what we call active immunity, much more robust and long lasting. Enter monoclonal antibodies. These are immediate, very, very short term. It's like bringing the army in for a day or two to attack the proteins that are the virus attacking you and to stop the replication and to keep it from rising to a viral load, which is what will make you sicker and sicker. Now, I want to address Regeneron. It's a name that's thrown around quite a bit. I want people to be empowered with this information. Regeneron is actually the name of a company very close to DC. I believe it's in Maryland. It makes what you're thinking of when you think of the treatment is something called RegenCov. RegenCov is under an emergency use authorization, which should tell you that it is still experimental. It is actually a cocktail of two monoclonal antibodies, casirivimab and indemivab. And I'm going to talk about those in a minute. It is right now indicated for early to mid treatment. So if you're in the later stages, it may or may not help. I want to point out, though, that these monoclonal antibodies are the access to them is still being blocked in many, many states. Your access to them depends or is determined by politicians and unelected bureaucrats in your state, your state departments of health. And many of them are still blocking cheap, generic, but very effective hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. But they're pushing to Lacey's later part of her question. They're pushing this. I'm not for or against it. I'm just making you aware of the fact that they push it. It is very expensive for cancer. You can spend about $100,000 a year for it. I'm not sure what the insurance situation is since it is under an experimental authorization. It is missing a fair amount of informed consent. Patients get a one-page information sheet. That doesn't sound familiar. And nothing is without, especially man-made, is without side effects. They only list two. One of them are infusion-related reactions like fever, flushing, hives, and then, of course, the default adverse side effect, which is severe allergy in the form of anaphylaxis, which is very serious, and it usually entails an airway obstruction or an emerging airway obstruction. Before we close, though, I want people to understand how these monoclonal antibodies are made. Okay, they're made in four different ways, and you can tell by the suffix or the last few letters of the name of that medication. They are man-made, as I said. There are four different ways. The first one is called murine. Murine is made exclusively from mouse proteins, and the names of those types of MABs end in O-M-A-B. Just take a note. The second type is called chimeric. You've heard that term before. From Dr. David Martin, and there's a reason for it. Chimeric is a combination of part animal and part human, and the names of chimeric monoclonal antibodies end in either V-I-M-A-B or X-I-M-A-B. And yes, RegenCov is a chimeric combination between a mouse and a human. And so the third is humanized. That's not human. It's humanized. It is a combination of small parts of mouse molecules attached to human proteins, and those names end in Z-U-M-A-B. Now, the last one is the human monoclonal antibody. It is fully made from human and only human proteins. and the names of those end in U, M-A-B. So I hope that helps give people a larger view of what this is about. You can find states like New York where it's not available at all. People are just on their own, toughing it out, compared to something like Florida, where down here in Florida, there are probably maybe 75 to 100 monoclonal antibody centers where you can just walk in, even without a doctor's order, from what I understand.
Wonderful. Answering these questions is awesome. I'm going to really love this segment. It's going to happen every single Wednesday here on the Stu Peters Show. If you have questions, you can find Dr. Ruby. You can email her if that is your preferred method of contact, drjaneruby@protonmail.com. Or if you want to join the conversation, get involved with other patriots, you can find me there as well on Telegram. You can find Dr. Ruby on Telegram, t.me/DrJaneRuby. That's Dr. Jane Ruby. Ask Dr. Jane. It's brought to you by MyPillow.com, the great patriot, Mike Lindell. Make sure that you use promo code STU when you go to MyPillow.com. Dr. Jane, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu. It's really great.
So many of these psychological effects we've experienced due to the successful Marxist coup in our country and this propaganda machine continuously just pushing black pill after black pill towards us, some of the stress and anxiety that's created by that can be treated holistically and naturally using CBD. I use it. It helps me to think more clearly. It helps me to rejuvenate, wake up in the morning with a nice, fresh spirit and mind. It also helps me with my joint pain. I have arthritic joint pain between my shoulder and my clavicle. It's called endoclavicular arthropathy, if you want the exact terminology. But whether it's joint muscle pain, ligament pain, migraines, allergies, any of these things, we've heard great testimonials of people that deal with Parkinson's disease, ADHD, and even PTSD. This is a veteran-owned company, Verve Forever, where I get my CBD. Use promo code STEW50, that's STEW50, STEW50 for 50% off site-wide. That includes the bath salts, that includes the skincare products, the oils, the pain creams, the patches, all of it, site-wide. 50% off using promo code STU50 when you go to AmericaFirstOil.com. These are products by a veteran, for veterans, for the general public, all 50% off. And I'm telling you, do your business with somebody where you know all of the CBD products are sourced right here in the United States. They don't come from China. They don't come from the Wuhan lab. They don't have lipid nanoparticles and 5G technology in them. You can guarantee that they are safe. They're manufactured by and for veterans for you directly. Get 50% off using the promo code STU50 when you go to AmericaFirstOil.com. Well, the whole healthcare system has been weaponized. We talk about the propagandists, formerly known as doctors in white coats, walking around with their manuals from the American Medical Association, teaching them exactly what to say. We also know about crazy, lunatic, authoritarian doctors saying that you should die if you voted for President Trump and you don't take the jab. Either way, at the end of the day, you suffer. The patient suffers. And that's what should be most upsetting to the majority of people. Here joining us now is Deanna Lorraine. She's the author of the best-selling book, Taking Back America, which you can find at DeannaLorraine.com. She's here for Shots Fired Daily. And now you're saying that even more disastrous outcomes are going to happen, more bad things for the patients at hospitals as they need care for anything.
Right. And trust me, Stu, I want to come up with different types of news. I really do. But it seems like the vaccines and the upcoming vaccine mandates is just the most prominent mood news right now, because it is the most important. It's access to our freedom, whether our country is going to remain free or not, whether we truly become a communist totalitarian country. So right now, what's a huge crisis is the crisis in staffing and nurses of hospital. There's a major shortage of nurses and hospital workers, et cetera, happening right now and about to happen in a major way with the upcoming vaccine mandates. But the media is absolutely lying to you. They're pretending that the shortage is due to the Delta variant because it's so scary that it's scaring nurses away. It's causing nurses to become so overwhelmed that it's making them want to stay home, take time off of work, or just quit because they've just seen too many trauma cases. But that's not the truth. I've heard from so many nurses personally, and I'm going to be doing full-length interviews with them, by the way, who are telling me straight up that it's not because of that, because they're trained. That's their job, right, to see stressful cases. It's not because the hospitals are overwhelmed with Delta variant cases. It's because they're quitting because of the vaccine mandate. They're quitting because they don't want to take an untested jab, and they don't feel they need to. In fact, an Ohio nurses survey, a nurses union poll that was just happened 2 days ago, was just conducted, found that a third of nurses surveyed, a third of them are planning on quitting or have quit because they don't want to take the upcoming mandated vaccine at their hospital. So they're going to quit. Now, this leaves an insane shortage of people. In fact, I've read some studies and heard people where, listen to this, some patients are having to wait over an hour in a parking lot in the ambulance before they get seen by a nurse, over an hour, when this process should take 10 to 15 minutes. Someone else I read about had to get shuffled to 6 different hospitals for an open heart surgery before they were seen by somebody. 6 different hospitals. This is completely unacceptable. And yet we're also finding that they're hiring travel nurses up to $10,000 a week because they have this much shortage of nurses, because they can't find the shortage of, they can't find enough nurses. Now, this obviously presents a big problem because they care about your health, right? This is all supposed to be for our health, yet they're willing to let patients die and not be seen by nurses because they are forcing this vaccine on nurses that don't need it.
The vaccine is like the most important thing to these people. They're pushing it on their nurses. If the nurses don't want it, a third of them go. Patients die. And then the doctors have become weaponized. Don't you burden my healthcare system. Don't you burden my ICU. If you're not going to do exactly what I say on my social media 100% of the time around the clock, you can just go and vote for Trump, watch OAN and die. I mean, this is insane.
Using medical treatment. And by the way, a virus so serious that they have to shortage, they have to fire hundreds of thousands of nurses. A Toronto hospital system, by the way, just let go of 900 nurses. I mean, this is incredible. But of course, these are the same nurses that were hailed as heroes over the past year and a half and have treated these patients for a year and a half without infecting anybody. And they haven't gotten the vaccine. But you know what, Stu? I was thinking this is obviously going to create a huge disaster. And it clearly spells out the fact that they don't care about people's health at all if they're willing to let go of nurses and hospital staffs and let people die outside in the parking lot. But what this could be good is because maybe all these nurses and hospital workers can maybe start their own thing. Because clearly, if they're not willing to get a mandated jab and they're willing to lose their job over it, they're probably not willing to do other things that are not medically sound, like force a tube down people's throats and go on ventilator and not give them HCQ, not give them ivermectin, et cetera, to help them survive. So maybe these doctors and nurses, maybe they can start their own thing. Maybe they can unite and actually give people proper healthcare treatment and early healthcare treatment for COVID-19 and do the right thing instead of listening to these ridiculous, ludicrous mandates and these treatments that are clearly killing people.
Dr. Lee Merritt was on this program yesterday. And Dr. Lee Merritt, one of the originals at America's Frontline Doctors, said that back in the 80s when she took her Hippocratic Oath, it was that when you go into the patient's house, you serve nobody but the patient. She couldn't imagine at that time who else they might be alluding to. Who else would I serve other than the patient? She now knows who you're serving. You're serving this oligarchy, this authoritarian, totalitarian, communist, globalist cabal. But, you know, it's people like Dr. Merritt and the real frontline workers that actually take that Hippocratic Oath seriously. It's not a hypocritical oath. It's a Hippocratic Oath. And they should start their own underground medicine. It wouldn't even have to be underground. Blatantly and openly advertise, we treat patients based on their individual health needs. We listen to people's advisors. We listen to people's family. We listen to the people who advocate for the patients. We want what's best for the patient. Yeah. Not like what's happening in this tyrannical healthcare system that has been completely weaponized at the expense of politics. It's insane. It's disgusting. It's grotesque.
It's diabolical. If you want to die right now and die alone, go to a hospital. I mean, sadly, that's the place where you're going to go to die at this point.
They have become the new ovens.
They have become the new ovens of the Holocaust, as we talk about all the time. So nurses, stand strong. Medical workers, stand strong. Get fired or quit, and then you can sue or start your own private hospital, because I think this, in the end, might be an actual good thing if we want to actually help people and save people's lives.
She's here for Shots Fired Monday through Friday. Her name is Deanna Lorraine. Get her book, Taking Back America. You can find it at DeannaLorraine.com. Dear, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. How about you just do everything you can to prevent being a patient in the first place by promoting a strong immune system using Deer Antler Velvet, this IGF-1. What is IGF-1? It is the substance that naturally appears in your body. Your body generates IGF-1 on its own. But as you get older, as we age, the production levels of IGF-1 go down in your body. So we treat it like any other deficiency, a multivitamin, for example. We supplement the IGF-1 in our body. You can get all of these great products over at keystolife.shop. That's keys, the number two, life.shop. This is the multi-million dollar company that was shut down by the federal government. Why? Because it was keeping people healthy and the medical field was suffering. Big Pharma was suffering. You were taking money away from them. You cannot have that. So the federal government stepped in and shut them down. This stuff works. I'm telling you, there were lawsuits about this HGH, IGF-1 stuff, promoting these professional athletes who were putting on a whole bunch of lean muscle. It was promoting healthy weight loss, all kinds of different stuff. Sleep aids are available there too. This is the stuff that is making men men again. And that is the language that we need to start really talking about. The men in this country have been feminized. The globalists are targeting men, promoting all this transgenderism and the feminizing of men. It's all just disgusting. It's sick. It's gross. Making men men again. That's what we need. This product can help. Go to keys, the number two, life.shop. It'll help you think more clearly. All of the other benefits that I aforementioned, plus more. Sleep aids. There are products for women available over there as well. It's not just for men. Go to keys, the number two, life.shop. Mention Stu Peters to get big discounts at keystolife.shop. Early on treatment of the COVID-19 virus, it has proven to work, which is exactly why the globalist-controlled media wants to bastardize anybody that uses it. They want to demonize things like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C. They're even refusing drips. Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko will be here tomorrow to discuss early patient treatment and how he saved thousands of lives. He's going to give you some tips. Don't miss tomorrow's Stu Peters Show. I want to remind you to get over to StuPeters.shop. Please get over there and get the trucker hat, the StuPeters.tv shirt. You can use these things to red pill people. Also, if you're taking a stand, no masks. The Take It Off shirt is available at StuPeters.shop as well. We appreciate it. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the